the most fundamental and probably the most important thing is seeing the customer experience, the customer element, as absolutely germane to your business.
And it's really through that cultural change that we're seeing that increased collaboration across the supply chain to explore new innovative methods of planning and delivering our works to really minimise that customer impact.
The one thing that we've really learned over the past few years is about listening to our customers. And not listening to respond, listening to understand.
We talk about the phrase essential for some, good for everyone. And the things we talk about that are really, really essential, very important for people with ADHD are actually good for everyone.
Hello and welcome to a series of podcasts that explores the future of England's strategic road network, making them safer, smarter and more reliable. And we'll be doing this by talking to some of the people who make those possibilities a reality. My name's Annette Pass and I'm Head of Innovation here at National Highways. In this episode of Connecting the Country, we'll be exploring the innovative thinking, products and technologies that are enabling bolder and more customer-focused approaches to roadworks. Together with our delivery partners, National Highways is developing a series of measures to improve customer experiences and reduce the impact of billions of pounds worth of vital work being carried out on our roads. For this episode, I'm delighted to be joined by Laura Baker-Lacey, Customer Service Director for Major Projects here at National Highways, Nick Fernhead, Chair of National Highways Collaboration Board Customer Subgroup, Henry Shelford, Chairperson and Co-Founder of ADHD UK, and Joe Corson, CEO of the Institute of Customer Service. Thank you all for joining me here today as representatives of innovation and customer service. Our relationship with the people who rely on our roads has changed significantly over recent years as we've embraced customer experience. Laura, you've been closely involved through this evolution, first as Head of Customer Experience and now as Director of Customer Service for our major projects. What changes have you seen and do you think innovation is part of that?
The new approach to road investment has made a massive difference, partly because customer service is now one of our top priorities. So whilst asset management and operation of the network is really important, how we do those things and the service we provide is equally as important. And I think the one thing that we've really learned over the past few years is about listening to our customers and not listening to respond, listening to understand. So finding out what it is that they need, what it is that they want. So we use a lot of customer insight, whether it be from us, from external organisations, from our watchdog, Transport Focus. So we use all of this to outline our requirements that we then put into designing a scheme or operating the network. So that real basis of understanding what the customer wants is where we start for absolutely everything now. And I think that's then gone on to really help us kind of raise standards. So, for example, we developed something called Roadworks, a customer view. And that is 20 principles that every single major scheme uses. So those 20 principles help them design their traffic management so that people have a consistent experience and have a better experience through those roadworks. And then, of course, we look at how we innovate in that. So, for example, high safe speed in roadworks. So lots of people might know that as 60 miles an hour in roadworks. And that's very much about making sure that all of our schemes operate at the speed that is safe, but equally that isn't just automatically 40 or 50 miles an hour. The benefit of that is huge. So we've saved up to, so far, 8 million vehicle hours. And equally, the real bonus of that, I think, is that there's better compliance with the speed limit. Equally, customers tell us that they feel safer. And more importantly, the people who work next to these live lanes of traffic also feel safe because there's really good driver behaviour and good compliance. And one of the things that we're looking at doing at the moment, together with a range of suppliers, is looking at total road closures. It means that rather than have, say, 12, 18 months worth of roadworks, narrow lanes, speed limits, and a diversion route through a community, you'd have 2 weeks. 2 weeks where you wouldn't be able to use the road, and 2 weeks that would impact on the community using their diversion route. However, when we went out and asked our customers what they thought about this, they were very positive about it. They understood the benefits that they would get in the long run, as did the communities. So we've done that once so far on the M42, and we shut the road for 2 weeks over Christmas. And we're looking at how we can use it on other schemes going forward as well. So it wouldn't work for every scheme. I'm not saying we're just going to shut the entire motorway. But for some schemes, actually the benefit of having short-term pain for long-term gain is really beneficial. And I think we'll see greater innovation going forward. But that's a few of the things we've been doing at the moment.
That's excellent. And it's really interesting, actually, to think about going out there and getting the customer's insight into this, and perhaps that they might tell you some surprising things, for example, that actually they feel safer travelling faster through roadworks than slower. So, Nick, you work in an organisation that works for National Highways and delivering our major schemes. So how have you seen this shift to focus on customer experience reflected in our relationship with our suppliers? And has this driven any innovation or made any changes in the way that roadworks are delivered?
So as Laura said, really, we've been on a journey since 2015, since customer became one of National Highways' imperatives. And that's a real cultural shift, really, as you elevate customer service to the same level as safety and delivery. Because clearly up until then, our focus has been on getting people home safe and well and delivering the roads on time and to budget. Whereas now we've seen a shift towards everyone acknowledging we need to be seen to be delivering that return on investment and value to customers and improving the customer experience. And that change of mindset has really filtered its way through the supply chain since 2015. We've seen that at the highest level through the Supply Chain Safety Leadership Group and the Collaboration Board Customer Subgroup developing the Roadworks Common Intent document, which is really a hierarchy of controls set out to aid the implementation of roadworks, where really our starting position is to avoid the need to build roadworks altogether and therefore eliminate the customer impact altogether. We can do that in a number of ways by thinking earlier in the design process and embedding customer at that early stage of the project to make customer-focused decisions and embed that in the design. We're seeing innovative approaches such as human-centred design to help us think in a different way and help us really consider the solutions that we're building, and also approaches like method-led construction where we think about how we're going to build the solutions we deliver and what the customer impact's going to be and the choice of methodology and amend that accordingly. And all this is founded on customer insight and about gathering as much rich information as we can early on and factoring that into the decisions we make. More into the delivery end of roadworks and some of the innovations we've seen there over the years, particularly around the electronic billboards and live journey time information being provided to customers at the roadside. Things like the automated cone lane machine, the advances in traffic management barrier in terms of improving safety. We're seeing real innovation coming through the supply chain. And it's really through that cultural change that we're seeing that increased collaboration across the supply chain to explore new innovative methods of planning and delivering our works to really minimise that customer impact.
Again, that's fascinating because I think that, you know, sometimes these insights, this move to have customer insights and really listen to the people who are using our roads, give us quite surprising feedback in terms of doing things that you might think are counterintuitive. But actually, it's a lot more, it's a lot more helpful to people and that experience. And so I think that's a really great example of how we're bringing the traditional engineering skills, you know, in with that insight of customer service. I'd like to bring Henry in at this point because, you know, we've spoken a lot about the importance of customer insight as a foundation for improving customer service. But what difference do you really think this can make? And so how do we cater for a really diverse society with different needs?
I think it's a really interesting question, and I think it's really great that you're asking it, because instead of thinking about a sort of one customer appreciating that there are lots of different people with very different experiences and concerns and issues on the road, I think that's really valuable that you're doing that. I understand that Highways has for a long time very much focused on a simplicity to the motorways, a lack of distractions, and that's obviously very helpful for people with ADHD. Often when we talk about ADHD, one of our challenges is describing it to people. And that's because people are familiar with the traits. So they're familiar with issues around timeliness, around the need to focus, around procrastination. And they can end up thinking what they need to do is what we need to do. And obviously, so we're in a wildly different place. So the three sort of core traits of ADHD. So inattention, that's attention jumping around, making it hard to hold thoughts long enough to consider them properly. And so one of the things that Highway's done such a focused job on is that ensuring that there's the least number of distractions possible on the majority of our roads, and so reducing that those opportunities for distractibility. There's a characteristic of impulsivity, that's fast decisions to do something without fully thinking through the consequences. That has the potential to have impacts on driving. I mean, and I think the majority of people with ADHD know this and obviously very focused on driving well. The third characteristic is hyperactivity, and that's an internal energy that must be used. So being stationary can actually feel quite painful. And that can make slow traffic feel very, very much more difficult for someone with ADHD. And if I go back to that original point, like all of those things you can kind of see in everyday drivers, it's just very much exaggerated for someone with ADHD. And the things then that we talk about to improve those situations are then, we talk about the phrase essential for some, good for everyone. But the things we talk about that are really, really essential, very important for people with ADHD are actually good for everyone.
So that's a fascinating insight I find into, you know, the experience that people with ADHD could have driving through roadworks, because I know that I've certainly found driving through roadworks one of the, as well as potential for delays, it can actually feel a kind of quite a monotonous kind of experience to be stuck in long stretches of traffic management where there are roadworks. Is this something that you consider now as part of planning roadworks?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you know, really interesting to hear from Henry, isn't it, actually, that too much information can almost be a negative. And it's really hard, isn't it, to get that balance between getting the right information to the right people at the right time, but also not overwhelming people. You know, one thing that National Highways have introduced is the customer audit. So we get mystery shoppers effectively driving through our schemes each month, and they provide feedback on the roadworks and against a number of criteria. And that's really helpful just to kind of see live information and regular feedback each month. Feedback from real customers based on, I couldn't see a sign because the vegetation was blocking it. I wasn't provided with enough information in advance, or I found the lanes weren't marked clearly enough. So there's some real kind of tangible things that we can then go out and change to improve that customer experience based on that insight.
So this is something I can really feel is coming through quite strongly, actually, as a theme, that I'm sure that we have a lot of work to do, but that we are, as National Highways, moving quite well along that path of really understanding what the experience is as opposed to what we think it is that people want, and then just doing what we think they need. So I'll bring Jo in here. And so Jo, one of the ways we build experience in customer service is by working closely with people like yourself. This is really helping us to understand how we can make a difference, as we've just been discussing. So what stood out to you as a real positive change about how we approach roadworks, and what more could we do?
Well, firstly, can I say it's absolutely great to be with you today, and really fascinating to hear the conversation. I think there's a couple of things which really had resonance with me. I think Laura was talking about listening to learn rather than just to confirm. And I think this whole piece around insight and really thinking very clearly through and stepping through the eyes of the customer, you know, stepping through the whole customer journey. Those are really, really important in terms of the layout, as you're saying, of the roadworks, what that means for different groups of people, how we respond. And I think that is really, really positive to hear from both Nick and Laura and indeed Henry on that. I also think the most fundamental and probably the most important thing is seeing the customer experience, the customer element, as absolutely germane to your business. It's not something that we do, as an afterthought. It's not something that we tack on to the end of something. And the more that you are doing that, absolutely putting that in the heart of your governance and of how you run your business, I think will stand out even further as you go forward. So for me, some really important pieces. Customer service is about setting standards, upholding those standards. You talked about that earlier. I think secondly, around using insight to inform. You know, we gather lots of information as organisations, but really using that insight to make a difference is critical. Thinking about it through the eyes of your customers and that range of customers that you are dealing with, which makes it quite complex. And as I said, probably most fundamentally, the fact that you are putting this at the heart of your business strategy, not just your service strategy. And that will stand you in good stead as you go forward.
Thanks, Jo. That's really fascinating. And it's great to see that, you know, you've noticed the difference that National Highways is making as a road user and as an expert in customer service. So Laura, coming back to you, I'm super excited that National Highways is about to launch an open innovation competition seeking new ideas, products and technologies that have the potential to improve customer experiences in roadworks even further. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Absolutely. So we know that a poor experience and delays through roadworks can have a really big impact on people's day-to-day lives, on the economy. And as Henry was telling us beforehand, you know, it affects people in different ways. So one of the things that we're looking at is how can we find whatever the product is or the services that can improve the experience that people have of roadworks. So we really wanted to work with kind of small, medium enterprises because we know that people have got some incredible ideas out there. So things that we haven't thought of, things that perhaps our traditional supply chain might not have thought of. So really trying to engage with people in a different way. So what we're looking for is to trial any innovations that people may have. We need them to have a positive impact on how people experience roadworks. So it's quite a wide brief because we didn't want to constrain people. We wanted people to be as creative as they possibly can be. And what we're looking at as well is how can we make the difference? So whether it be the experience of using roadworks, whether it be the communities who are impacted by the roadworks or the diversion routes. I mean, we really want to hear from people. So if people have bright ideas, if people have a product or a service that they think, actually, this can make a really positive impact, we want to know about it. So we're launching in September. So what we'd really like people to do is register their interest. We have a website, which is cp.catapult.org.uk/roadworks. And this means that you receive all the important updates, dates, information, everything you need to know about the competition. And I think partly why I'm really pleased about this is the fact that it gives an opportunity to work with different types of people. It gives a really open field an opportunity to come and work with us at National Highways in improving customer experience.
Excellent, and I'm always excited to hear about an innovation competition. And we've certainly had great experiences in the past of working with innovative SMEs and startups and really kind of pushing the boundaries of our thinking. Nick, do you think you have a role in working with SMEs and kind of new organisations?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we often find that some of the best innovations and brightest and best ideas come from the front line and from all the areas of our supply chain. So I think really it's about how do we attract new innovative ideas to our supply chain and work with them to develop and support them, which is obviously our role as a tier one in the supply chain. Yeah, we're really looking forward to seeing some of the ideas and innovations that come through this competition because I think we've got so much to learn and transfer from other industries, and it'd be really exciting to see what technology and ideas come through.
Absolutely. Do you have any experiences, Laura, about innovations that you've seen in other sectors and customer experience that you think may have lessons for National Highways?
I think so. I think traditionally we normally look at other regulated bodies like water, for example, or energy. But we've had some really great experiences talking to people from Sky and First Direct. So they are kind of market leaders in terms of customer service. And for them, it's very much about how they use customer contact to really understand their customers. So that's a positive thing for us that we could do in the future. But actually, looking at on-road, it's about how do we really get information into people's cars? How do we really move forward with the kind of connected vehicle approach, getting our network ready for autonomous vehicles in the future? So really thinking about what are the things that our customers need? And how can we help them get there? National Highways isn't a journey planning organisation, but we do have a lot of great data. So it's how we can use that data effectively to provide information, real-time information to people to make decisions.
And that's certainly my experience of as a traveller, whether it's on roads or trains or planes or anything really. It's all about having that information and knowing you know where to look. Henry, could I ask you a question about maybe some organisations that you've worked with where ADHD, they've given a really good focus to people with ADHD and adapted their customer service?
Certainly, though, the real-time information I would personally like to see much, much more of. I use a sat-nav system, Waze, which is supposed to update as quickly as possible. And you see the sort of, let's say, the speed limit changing on the highway, and it's not reflected in Waze or in my car, and I'd love that to be the case, because I use my car it has a speed limiter, so it knows what speed I'm going, and it beeps very firmly and aggressively at me should I get that wrong, and I value that. And then I found myself in areas of restricted going too fast inadvertently. Because that link hasn't happened, I haven't got the alerts I otherwise used to help me be a safer driver as I can. to get that kind of data in would be wonderful. You asked about companies we've worked with. I mean, very recently we've been working with Monzo Bank. You mentioned First Direct Bank, which I also happen to think is great. Monzo, one of the new banks, and they've recently done a big set of research and work on their ADHD customers. And that came out of discussions with their customers, the same thing that you're doing here, where they discovered that they had a number of ADHD customers, and the things that they were doing for them, ADHDs were really valuing. And that those were things, if we go back to the phrase I talked about earlier, essential for some, good for everyone. So people with ADHD can have real trouble with finances. And the Monzo research showed that there are additional costs for people with ADHD through various things of around £1,600 per year per person with ADHD. So there's a sort of financial cost to having ADHD. And they found that some of their tools, like being able to create buckets for putting your money in as your salary comes in, it can drop straight into buckets. Visibility on your payments. So 3 days before a direct debit's going out, it gives you an alert. And for someone with ADHD who finds managing those kind of things particularly challenging, it's very, very valuable. But it is essential for some, good for everyone, right? Everyone's like, this is a great aspect of the service. And they really wanted to show that, how their product is really helpful for people with ADHD with this neurodiversity, but also use it to show like these are really great things that people generally really value.
Yeah, and I think there are some really interesting parallels there, aren't there, between that experience of banking actually and experience of driving through roadwork. So it's all about, you know, giving some certainty, making sure the information's there, that you know what to expect when you're making decisions about your journey, that you have that information and guidance to hand and that you're not left wondering what you should do in uncertainty. Joe, innovation is really important to us at National Highways, as we've just been discussing, because we're committed to improving the way we work and the services we offer. So this can mean using innovation to tackle problems, exploit new opportunities, and also helping us to think a bit differently. So what are the latest innovations you've seen in the field of customer service that might apply to sectors such as transport?
So, Annette, I think it's a really important conversation about what we mean around innovation, because I think there's two forms here. There's, for me, large scale, which can be, you know, heavy tech innovation, you know, some of the things that you've implemented in terms of communication and updating us as drivers through those roadworks are great examples of that. But also, for me, innovation is about incremental, about there's just looking at every single part of that process to significantly improve the overall customer experience. And, you know, in a post-COVID world, a lot has actually changed. And each of your, Laura and Nick and Henry have touched on this, actually, in our conversations. But there's definitely a greater need for reassurance, a greater need for clarity around communication, and a greater need to be able to provide choice in terms of the different channels that we might interact with. So when I look at what good things have been or what good organisations are doing, you've mentioned some of those. Some of those are in the top of the UK Customer Satisfaction Index, people like First Direct. And what they've really done is they've thought through every part of that customer journey. They've thought through each of those pain points, if you like, and they've thought through, is that better dealt with in a human context, or is that better dealt with through a technological? You know, the future is all going to be about personalization. You know, the ability to give me information and data and knowledge in a way of my choosing. So the more that we can think about that through different customer groups, and there's a whole range of that, the better in terms of improving that. You know, in our latest research where we looked at, you know, the consumer, the customer in a post-COVID world, there were three types of customers that were coming out. One was really all around what we've called the ESG agenda. So that's about people that really care about the environment, about sustainability, but also about how well-governed organisations are. So doing the right thing is really critical. And I think there's more that can be learnt by many organisations about that. And that's about putting the customer experience in terms of the innovation at the heart of the organisation, much of the things we've talked about this morning. Then there's a whole area around a connected customer. And I think that's quite interesting. And Laura, I think you were talking about this, around, you know, connecting in terms of good communication, you know, being front of foot, you know, trying to think through and anticipate, but not assuming what the customer might want. So there's a key piece to me in terms of innovations around that, really seeking to understand. And then the other area are those of us that are probably, you know, more price orientated. Now, that's less of an issue in this situation, but, you know, all of that environment is having an impact on how we feel as customers and consumers. We're more stressed, we're more worried. And as we're facing into a pretty challenging landscape, making my life easier, and whether that's from getting from A to B, is going to be even more important. So the more that you can do in terms of, I suppose, de-stressing, helping advance warning, and trying to support us as consumers and customers so that we can get on with our lives and get on with our work, the better. So innovation for me can be technological, but actually it's also, you know, some of those small incremental improvements. And actually the best innovation is really listening and then improving bit by bit. You mentioned Sky and the Sky team in terms of the sports team. I will never forget when they were at their high day, at the, you know, the top of their game, they always talked about incremental improvements. And I think there's a lot to be said about that.
Thank you, Joe. And with that thought resonating in all our minds, I'd like to thank our guests, Laura Baker-Lacey, Nick Fernhead, Henry Shelford, and Joe Corson. And thank you too for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to subscribe and share it. Until next time, goodbye.
This is a National Highways podcast. For more information, visit nationalhighways.co.uk.
My name's Annette Pass, and I'm Head of Innovation here at National Highways. Make sure to catch episode 2 of our Connecting the Country podcast, A Bold New Approach to Roadworks. This time, we explore the innovative thinking, products and technologies that are helping us improve customer experiences and reduce the impact of billions of pounds worth of vital work being carried out on our road network.